This is The Conversation, and I'm Catherine Cruz. Now, you know, you may not know that 30 years ago, the Bishop Museum was designated as the State Museum of Natural Collections, but there hasn't been established funding for it. The Hawaii Tourism Authority recently donated $50,000 to boost the program. The entomology collection is said to be the fifth largest in the country and one of the 10 best in the world. Think about that. The fly collection by itself contains 2 million flies. Now, we sat down with Chief Entomologist Neil Evanhus. He's been at the museum for the last 40 years and is the world specialist on moth flies. He shares with us that 2019 happens to be the year of the fly, but flies don't always get the credit they deserve. Do you know about cutie flies? Think Pokemon. Well, today we are showcasing Neil's insect research and that of his fellow scientists at Bishop Museum. It's timely because state lawmakers are taking up a bill to ensure that state funding for Bishop Museum is a priority. Neil Evanhus talks more about the museum's good work.
We have a checklist. We're the only state in the United States that actually knows an accurate number of how many plants and animals we have in Hawaii. There are others that sort of estimate, but we've actually searched the literature and keep up to date on that, and so we could tell you exactly how many of every different plant and animal that is occurring in Hawaii.
And your specialty happens to be flies.
It is flies, yes. And it's the year of the fly this year, 2019. We had a congress of fly workers called Dipterological Congress every 4 years, and the last one was in Namibia last November. And so last year, 2018, was the year of the bird, and this year is the year of the fly. The things that I work on, I'm the world specialist on bee flies, which are they pollinate various flowers. They're commonly found in deserts, so we don't see them too much in Hawaii. In fact, we only have one species in Hawaii that's introduced from Taiwan, and they're all parasites. The one in Hawaii is parasitic on mud dauber wasps, and came in 1955 and slowly went from one island to another, and now it's like any other introduced species. It sort of peaks in population, so you get a number of sightings, and then it sort of declined, and right now it's still out there, but you don't hear from it too much. But I still work with a bunch of researchers who also work on bee flies. They're still found on Oahu, and I think there's records on Maui and in the Big Island. So I'm not sure about Molokai and Kauai, but still getting records from the other islands. But it could also be that they're there, but just in really low numbers and people aren't seeing them as much. They usually like to be in open, dry areas, and so they're not going to be in the forest as much as, say, if you're on the Big Island, it's going to be on the Kona side and not on the Hilo side.
So now when people think of flies, they probably think of, ew, get them out of here.
They do. That's something that I just had to live with when I chose the group that I was going to work on when I was in college. But I didn't think about that when I was working on with my major professor at the time, who was a bee fly expert. And so I was always interested in entomology and never thought that I'd be working on flies, but he got me interested just because of the pollination aspect. I really liked the working on the biologies of the insects that were pollinating the flowers in the deserts. And these are kind of cute. There's, in fact, not, you think of flies, you think of yucky flies that bother you at picnics, or, you know, mosquitoes are flies too, and so they're kind of yucky. But these guys, some of them can be rather cute. They're little fuzzy puffballs, and one of them is, even on the Pokemon deck, it's cutie fly. So if your listeners Googled cutie fly and looked at the images there, you'd see actually the Pokemon cutie fly, and right next to it is an existing bee fly that it was based on, which is found in Japan, and the publicity for that actually got the conservationists interested in conserving the species in Japan of that species. It's the scientific name is Anastichus nitidulus. It's just a little puffball, little fuzzy puffball, yellow with a little proboscis sticking out that sucks nectar from plants.
And so we talked about how up at Haleakala they've got silver swords and special flies that pollinate those special plants.
So the silver swords have a whole number of pollinators of flies that are in a group that are associated with the silver swords and keep those silver swords pollinated and thriving. And there's also another fly that we're going to be I have an article that's going to be going into the our members' newsletter, Ka'alele, and the title's going to be, "You Like Chocolate? Well, Thank a Fly," because without this particular fly that we have in Hawaii, we wouldn't have any chocolate being grown in Hawaii. And we have a business now starting up with chocolate in Hawaii. You know, there's chocolate in other areas, but they've started up a while ago and is starting actually to thrive now here. They've got some businesses going. And if it wasn't for that fly, the cacao flowers could not get pollinated. It's a unique mechanism that apparently the fly has to know how to get inside the flower and get the pollen, and then it goes to another flower and pollinates that. And so the cacao flowers then produce the cacao pods when you get the chocolate from that.
So I imagine, though, if we didn't really have a cacao industry going, but we've had these flies here. So when the cacao plants aren't around, how do they survive? What do they eat?
Well, they're generalists. And we group things into families and genera and species. And this particular genus, which doesn't have a Hawaiian name, but the genus is Forsyth Maya. And it's found in the tropical areas all over the world. And there are other species that pollinate the cacao flowers in other tropical regions of the world. So that's why chocolate is able to grow in other parts of the world as well. And here in Hawaii, it's just unique that we happen to have the species that pollinates the cacao here is endemic. It's only found in Hawaii and nowhere else. And it was described by one of our Bishop Museum staff members in the 1980s. And it's named after my major professor at the University of Hawaii. So it's called Forsyth Maya hardii.
And it's named after?
It's named after Elma Hardy, who was my former professor at the University of Hawaii. What we're going to be doing as part of this Hawaii Tourism Authority contract is, in addition to updating our checklists, the ferns are going to be updated and the Hawaiian flies are going to be updated. We're doing some public outreach things, and one of them is going to be putting displays up in the Science Adventure Center. So there's going to be three different flies that are going to be portrayed in three different ferns. We're doing them every other month, going on for a whole year, so you'll get six different ones. And the first one that's going up is going to be a moth fly. That's something that's, when you see it, you'll think it looks like a moth, and then it's really a fly. So a little story go along with those. I'm picking things that, again, when people think of flies, they think of a certain image in their mind, and I'm trying to show the public that there's a lot more different types of flies that are out there. The chocolate midge that I was talking about is going to be an article in the Ka'alele. And some of the other displays that we're going to be doing, I haven't really chosen what's going to go up after the moth fly, but there's going to be some interesting things there. So people that come to the museum, you know, come every other month so you can see those displays. They'll be changing. We're the State Museum of Cultural and Natural History, and in the Hawaii Biological Survey, we maintain the checklists of all the species that occur in Hawaii, but we're never getting any funding from the state to specifically do those things. We get an appropriation from the state every year, but there was nothing specifically going to Hawaii Biological Survey to help us update those things. So this is really the first time that we're getting some money that's specifically directed at updating those checklists. And we also have in the works a grant and aid from the state. And with the HTA, they require public outreach, and so and something that does benefit the visitor, or in this case, it's with the Aloha Aina program, which is telling stories of Hawaii is what we're going to be doing, which is promoting or fostering an appreciation for our natural resources. So what we'll do with the public aspect of this is the garden tours, and also these displays and articles in the newsletters that sort of hopefully the readers and visitors will have a greater appreciation for the natural resources that exist in Hawaii. The entomology collection, I should say, is the fifth largest in the country and in the top 10 in the world, just in size also. We have around 17 million specimens in our collection, and of those, 2 million are flies. I was involved when I first started at the museum many moons ago, working on mosquitoes. And we have a huge collection of mosquitoes because of a lot of funding that took place on doing just that, working on the mosquitoes. And so we have this fantastic collection of mosquitoes over time where they all occurred. So that's why we could say that the Aedes aegypti stopped in 1970 because we have all those collections that show that.
Marvelous collections they have there. That was entomologist Neil Evanhuis, a cutie fly guy, passionate about his work and that of his colleagues at the Bishop Museum.